Damo here, sitting in for Taylor. Now, I'm very excited about my next guest. You know, most of the time when you go through an artist's back catalogue, it's usually a pretty linear experience, you know? You can sort of trace the development of an artist through the rougher cuts of a debut album into maybe subsequent releases that are more sanded down, smoother, exact, specific. But sometimes these subsequent releases can be more predictable. My guest this morning is not one of those artists. In fact, I doubt the words linear and predictable have ever been used to describe his catalogue, a volume of work so immense, so varied. Kim Salmon and the Surrealists, Kim Salmon and the Business, The Darling Downs, Kim and Leanne, Cheap Nasties, Antenna, Beasts of Bourbon, and of course The Scientists, just to name a few. He's also been inducted into WA Music Hall of Fame, is touring once again with The Scientists, and you can catch him this Friday at the Rosemount Hotel. Kim, welcome to the show.
Wow, what a welcome.
Not bad, hey?
No, not bad.
Yeah, Kim Salmon, this is your life. First, Kim.
Statements are part of the thing, isn't it? You know, that's not the normal, you know, normally overstate.
We'll do it differently. That's very true. Kim, how is... We're at the back end of the Negativity Tour. What's it like again touring as The Scientist? Has it been liberating playing this album to crowds?
It's been like we found this broken-down weirdo spaceship somewhere and we figured out how to get it flying again. And once you've got it flying, of course, it's exhilarating.
Yeah.
But you've got to get it off the ground. You got all gravity and all that stuff to contend with, and physics. And yes, but it's been really, now that we're going, actually from the first moment, we had a way of starting that we thought might be pretty cool, and it's worked every time. So there's always Perth, though. We could always see if we can... all flat there, but it's like it comes out, it bolts out of the cage, whatever, and goes on from there. So
from the word go, I love it. Yeah,
yeah, I feel it was sort of got to really figure a way to get the good momentum happening, pretty much. So
it's all
that's been really good, and it's a good start, and then it's sort of like you can kind of get away with a lot.
I love it. In the news, or in the set list, are there tracks like Blood Red River and Swampland hidden in there still?
There's ones like those.
Oh, okay.
No, there are those exact ones in the set.
Is it
Blood Red River doesn't always get a Guernsey. It's like, you know, we've got a limited time to get stuff in, but usually it makes it in. It's, depends on what sort of momentum we're trying to catch, because that's a slower track, and try to, you know, keep a bit of momentum and pace happening.
Is it odd now that there are new, in quotation marks, new Scientist tracks and old ones? Is that an odd thing to sort of conceptualise now?
Well, not now, because I think we've cracked it. That was always the problem, was doing... old bands doing new material that sort of fit in the same and don't destroy the whatever there was. You know, trying to foist some new kind of idea onto it and pretend it's like the same band. But I feel that the feedback we've been getting is that it all fits in seamlessly.
Brilliant. Yeah.
We went to a lot of trouble to kind of make the material so that it would was actually... You know, it's like we had to go about a completely different process to write the same thing.
I can imagine, yeah. Especially with such distance between drinks, between albums. Well,
yeah, and between the members as well, too, because, you know, Tony and I are the ones that do most of the riffery, so, and that part of it. Boris and Leanne also help put it all together and add their bits too. So we're all, you know, Leanne and Boris they were up in Sydney. I was in Melbourne and Tony was in London. So
that aspect. Convenient.
Yeah.
Speaking about that creative process, and this is, you know, this is a question that is pervasive for any album with any artist, but I think for Negativity specifically, I'm very curious about it. Was it a sort of slow, gradual maturing into this album, or was it a, you know, it's been this long, we've got a couple of ideas floating around, but let's not lock everyone in a room because you're so spread out, but let's just crank this out, we've got the ideas, let's create it, or was it a slower process?
No, once we cracked it was a quick process. It was all done in 2019. So once we figured out how to do it and what the process actually was, it was really just a matter of coming up with me and Tony coming up with the scientific grooves, something that was like, it'd rock. It has to rock, but it can't rock like other bands do. It's got an off-kilter groove to it, so it has to do it that way. And then we come up with something that we hadn't done before. So we had to do those things. And then I'd get the riff back from Tony. I actually made up the drum parts, sent them to him. Mm. He sent back the riff, and then I'd see if I could float it, basically. See if I could fly it, I should say.
Pilot it, yeah.
And so I'd, you know, come up with some lyrics and a melodic idea to put those lyrics to. So it was really hearing some words, some kind of voice, some language coming out of that groove and saying something to me. So one example was this crazy thing that Tony thought was like an instrumental melody. And it was full of all these James Bond sounding things because he loves that James Bond stuff. He thinks it's part of our oeuvre, but I kind of... oeuvre. Whatever you say it. Okay. Oeuvre.
One more time.
Anyway, he sort of sent this thing back to me, and I thought, what am I going to do with this bloody James Bond nonsense? And I then thought, okay, I should give him a chance. I just thought, well, that guitar melody, I could actually sing that. What would you sing to that? And then it was like, oh, God, it's one of those songs where there's about a million syllables you've got to get through. So a bit like that Mickey DeLenz thing in the Monkees. I can't remember the name of it, but he's going... I thought, that'd be kind of neat if I could pull it off.
Damn.
And I just sang the first things that popped into my head, which is, why don't you trust me? I know what I'm doing.
Mm.
And then I thought, what rhymes? Something about the things I'm pursuing, just because you can't see the things I'm pursuing. Oh, yeah, it's got something. There's a song.
Is that?
A song out of a music. Well, it's me. I wrote it, and we've done it. It's sort of like this strange combination of Tony with one idea, and then I completely subvert it to something else. And that's sort of what the scientists always did. You know, it was like never like, nothing was straightforward. So that's kind of the process. That's how we went about it, or that sort of thing. It was kind of like, oh, what can we do with this? How can we mess with this?
Oh, so organic. So organic. I love it.
But it happened quickly, to answer your question.
Was there added pressure at this being a scientist's album? Was there a bit more weight to it?
Heaps.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, because we didn't go to... If we weren't aware of it, we'd have... I mean, I'll be honest, we had done a few little releases around it in the Red Records. It's the thing with the 9H2O, blah, blah, the scientific formula, which is sort of like, got a song called Hey Sydney and, a bunch of them. But I kind of think of that as a transition to try and get to where we are now. When we were out there touring them a couple of years back before the pandemic, people said, oh, yeah, this is cool. And I think it's not really the scientists. It was sort of me and, you know, cobbling shit together and getting the band to play it and doing things. You know, it was done completely via the internet, unlike Negativity, which was all done in one place in Perth. So it's quite a different thing. But it didn't seem right. So to actually get something, we knew it was right once we got Negativity in. We thought, this is us finally. But it wasn't straightforward. We had to actually go through a process to get there. And so we were very mindful of that, because we knew that rock history is littered with bands, including the Stooges and the New York Dolls, that have done latter-day albums that really don't quite cut it when you put it next to the originals.
100%.
I do feel that Negativity is part of our will be part of our legacy when we're long gone. I think people will look at that, and much in, I'd like to think much in the way that maybe when you think of some artists like Captain Beefheart,
yeah,
you got these things like Dock at the Radar Station that were much later than, say, Trout Mask Replica, but they're just equally part of it. I'd like to think we've kind of cracked that. That's what I feel.
Can you remember a specific session where the penny dropped and you looked and everyone looked at each other and went, yeah, this is what we're looking for, we're back?
Well, we were in getting inducted into the WA Hall of Fame.
Just casually?
It was in that. So we booked ourselves into Sumo Studios with a mate of ours called Joseph Greck. Well, he's a mate of mine. And the band just loved working with him. They thought, this guy's, he gets us, okay. Mm. And so, and we were putting the tracks down and he was helping us. He could see where we were going with them. And I think there's a song, The Science of Suave, you know, when we played that back and got it. And you know what? That's the winner. That's the real song out of this. And that's us.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
No other band. Yes, that's it. But, you know, there's a song called 17 and another one called Moth-Eaten Velvet and Outsider. They're all kind of... Outsider was our first single off the album. And that's sort of a poppier, more upbeat thing, I think. And it's a great... I like to think it's a great opening single for the album, but it's sort of a bit of a upbeat. It's a bit upbeat for the scientists.
Yeah. Yes.
We kind of got a slight downbeat edge to us.
I'm going to read you a passage from your Bandcamp page, Kim. I don't know if you wrote it or you've heard of it, but it's something I want to ask you about. Kim Salmon's most enduring legacy, and not one that he particularly tried for, will no doubt be that many blame him, or at least his band, The Scientists, for, is grunge. Now, I'm sure this has been put to you many a time, but now in 2023, talking to me at this moment, Kim, what is your relationship with that term? Have you embraced it? Have you felt estranged from it? How do you feel about that word, the connotations that it creates?
Well, I just think if that's what history is going to give me, I might as well take it rather than
love
ignore it. I'll be grunge. Yeah. Look, I'm mates with Mudhoney. I don't mind Soundgarden. You know, Nirvana were great.
Yeah.
You know, there's other, you know, it's not like the be all and end all. It's one of many things out there. That's what I think, you know. It's pretty much a blues-based kind of rock, you know, being renamed, really. It's kind of, I'd like to think that The Scientists was perhaps a little bit more than just a, you know, kind of blues-based rock that was renamed slightly.
Just a little bit.
I'd like to think that. Maybe I'm deluding myself.
No, of course not. Couple more questions. The power of collaborations, hey. So going through your discography, you've worked with Warren Ellis, Dave Faulkner, Spencer P. Jones, Ron Pino. The list goes on. Massive collaborations. What, as an artist, what do you seek out from a collaborator?
You know, it's a kind of psychological process. Kind of almost like they're analysts, really. Well, that's how it was with Ron, because the things Ron would do and things he wouldn't do, and the things that he, you know, with his lyric writing, he'd come out with and say, he'd be kind of encouraging him in a particular way, trying to draw him out. It was like he was on the couch there.
Coaxing him out.
Yeah, whereas somebody like Dave Faulkner, it's completely the opposite. He works one way, that's it. You can't really, it's his way or the highway, basically. So I try to sort of get what I can out of it. So I learned a lot of discipline working with Dave. So, like, you know, that you get a melody and you be very exact about it and you make sure that the syllables all fit it exactly. So that's the opposite to working with Ron. Tex Perkins, it's very organic, the Tex. It's like it's probably the closest to my own. I learned a bit from him because he was very much about going with the flow. And for a salmon that goes against the flow, I had some things to learn to actually occasionally abandon myself to that.
Yeah.
So that was Tex's lesson, you know. We wrote Save Me a Place together and off the first Beast album, and he kind of disputes it, but he was like, he played me I'm Gonna Booglerize You by Captain Beefheart and said, can you write something like that, write the same but different? And I came up with this thing. Of course, he says yes, but the evidence is you listen to the two tracks and they sound nothing like each other.
Mm.
But he also says that a lot of the songwriting process is getting stuff wrong and coming up with your own stuff.
Mm.
I think that's going with the flow there. Writing with James Baker, it was sort of a bit that way because James, he wrote the lyrics, strangely enough, in that band, and I had to kind of come up with melodies to go with his kind of quaint, naive sort of lyrics that he did that was very stylized. Motif-driven pop, really.
Mm.
So I'd have to try and come up with something that would go with that, and that made me happy. But it worked, so I went with it.
Mm.
The Later Scientist was much more of a thing of I want to do this because I didn't have a drummer to write lyrics for me anymore, so I had to come up with my own thing. So I had to look deep into my soul. Figure out.
As every drummer does.
I got my guitar student walking into the rehearsal room that I'm in.
Well, so Kim, let's wrap this up.
Gotta go back to work.
I love it. Kim, The Scientists playing on Friday, the Rosemount. Get your tickets from OzTix. Kim Salmon, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thanks for being on there.
Legend. Enjoy your guitar lessons.